Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, Lord. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Selma is now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory, oh,
glory. Welcome to the GOC. I'm Gary Gray. And for those who have not gotten their COVID shot, you better get it. We can't play around with this thing anymore any longer. Get your shot.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Need to get back to normal again. We need to get back to families. We need to get back to friends. Let's get going, guys. Before summertime, this should be over before summertime. We'll get back after the opening, please.
Welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athletes, Sports Network, and the BASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. send news and information to glcgray@gmail.com. Got to listen to The Brothers on the AfricanAmericanAthleteShow.com with Michael Robinson and Ricky Hampton, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 Eastern Time, Tuesday nights on BlogTalkRadio.com. The Mighty Oba, formerly from WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York, will start their season in the Minor Football League with the Rochester Chargers. Also check out his SoundCloud podcast every week at 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern Time, Soul Tree Radio, In the Raw, with Michael Lewis Ingram, with hard political and social sports news. Sunday night, it's the Musical Mindstream, after the Music Box Hour. On Wednesday night, it's the Political Stir Fry at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific Time. At 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time, Sunday night, listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on the Anthony Johnson Show, sending brotherly love over the airwaves and political food for the soul from the city of Philadelphia. Ours, the New England Informer magazine, Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, good news for the black community. Young stars Travis Singleton with his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and Boston South Celtics, as well as other NBA teams. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan, email glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.basnnetworknewsroom.com. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649.
Do I hear the brothers in the background?
And I'm so sorry. I was trying to read really quick because they, you just never know when they're going to come in and start talking and laughing. I'm waiting for them to bust out in a song or something. I was trying to read really quick today. Sorry about the interference, guys. Sorry. Oh, I tell you. I said I've got five and one on the way. Do any day now. So.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I know you're going to have a great show, and I'm going to be listening and have it loud so it can overpower the noise that I'm hearing from them. So I'm going to be listening. You do a great job every week, Gary.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the opening from Sister Tracy. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. My pleasure.
Now we're going to move on to the Capitol Police issue. Last Friday, the Capitol Police had to deal with another episode of a car running into the barriers and killing one officer. Now, what 45 has done, I can tell you all this, 45 has opened the door for every lunatic, fringe group, crazy person who could do anything. And last week was an event, another one of the events, Bible Americans, we had to take our country back. Well, I don't mean the way President Trump calls either. I have an article that's going to be on Black Athletes. Article is called Words Hurt. What I mean by words hurt, words are very powerful things. Words can change a person's mind. didn't work. And I said, they're still investigating the issue with the Capitol Police. This man died from the conflict. 2 weeks ago, also, the Georgia new law. It will face consequences. Civil rights groups all over the country. I'm moving to boycott Coca-Cola, UPS, Home Depot, and Delta Airlines, which is all based in Georgia. Black lawmakers wanted to ban the PGA for having the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia this weekend, but it came too late. Next year, we're going to find out about Augusta, Georgia and the Masters if this law stands. We're going to find out. I'm just saying that the right wing has really lost their minds. They are going to restrict voting, which is predominantly minority voting. And it's just been getting easier to vote. They're making it more difficult to vote. Why? Because they're losing seats. That's why they are losing seats. That's why they're putting all these rules up. Stop it. The Baseball All-Star Game will be moved from Georgia to Colorado. A very interesting point was made yesterday night. 42% of Atlanta is African American. Where baseball moved it to was Denver, which is less than 12% African American. I have to question Major League Baseball behind that. We're talking billions of dollars for the state of Georgia. Yes, boycotts work. It's time. Mr. Watson, I can understand this case. It's beyond my conception to go from 5 to 21 in 3 weeks. Meanwhile, Mr. Watson's plane stock continues to drop. As each week, that's the goal of the National Football League. To drop this guy so low, he'll play for anybody, for any contract. That's what this is about. Yes, it's also about the ladies, but the main thing is about the money, right? And Mr. Watson will be persona non grata if this continues. The U.S. IOC discussed boycotting the Beijing Summer Games of 2022 for their human rights violation in Western China, the Islamic part of China. We will see if America does what it did in 1980. I don't think they will. There's too much money involved. The NFL was banned the 17 games this year because of the season. The preseason is 3 games. More money. Again, dollar sign to read off the hook, boy. The NCAA starts talking, the playoffs are over. the men's title. Stanford wins the women's title. And Baylor, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Gonzaga, God bless Gonzaga. But when you play in a soft conference and go up against a real team, which is Baylor, results are a 20-point beatdown. Indiana University hired Mike Woodson, former NBA coach, former New York Knicks head coach. Mike Woodson will do well in Indiana. It seems like a lot of ex-pro NBA head coaches are going back to college and succeeding. I hope Mike Woodson does the same. The U.S. soccer team failed again to qualify for the 2020 Olympics, while the ladies have won 3 of 4 championships. Meanwhile, the U.S. IOC refuses to pay the ladies and they pay the men. Baseball started last Thursday. And the Jays beat the Yankees 3-2 in the stadium for 10 innings. The first home run in the snow by Detroit Cabrera in Detroit and a victory over Cleveland. And this Friday night, San Diego gets his first no-hitter in the history of the franchise with Joe Musgrove gets his first no-hitter for the San Diego Padres. I like the Padres' new uniforms. Roy Williams retires with USC. The Mets opening series were postponed because of COVID-19. I don't know if the Nats will ever make up these games. Baltimore and Boston were postponed last week. And the owner of the Atlanta Falcons enacted the Georgia voting restriction law. The Texas governor will not be did not throw out the first pitch at the Ranger game. In the Ranger games, anybody could go. There were no restrictions. And the highest COVID, this is the divinity of these people. The highest COVID numbers are in Texas and Michigan. Why? Because you had no restrictions. California is on a breakthrough of reopening again. Texas and Michigan is going to be a long time of Americans. So, California is leading the way how to do this. You slowly open the states. But, and see, this is where America gets in trouble. America has more COVID cases than all countries in Asia. The whole continent. Because we do stupid stuff. Man, because I want to be free, okay? It's fine. Half a million people have died. Go ahead. You want to be free. Paul Pierce in the ESPN far away is a video post. After a strange video post. Arizona Wildcats fired head coach John Miller after 12 years. Guess the women showed him up after their run to the Final Four. Congratulations to the Arizona Lady Wildcats. I appreciate the coach. Nike, see, this is the kind of stuff that made me really angry. And Nike owns all endorsements with Mr. Watson. Now, as I can recall, it did not happen to Big Ben Roethlisberger or Brett Favre. Let me do it again. Nike stopped all endorsements for Mr. Watson. Brett Favre got a new commercial for Levi's jeans. Give me a break. What the hell is what the hell are you doing? But that's the way it runs out. If you're black, you have to be clean as a whistle. You got Reggie in the house.
Big G rolled in on the Sixers. What's up, my brother in the struggle? How you doing, family?
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing good. What's up with you, man? Are you on the road?
You know it, but you know, Gary, two points I need to bring up. Number one, Mr. Watson and his lawyers, I think, are handling this the right way. Right now, it's in the court of public opinion. And, of course, you got all these women coming forward. But I think you need to face your accuser. If people are going to publicly try to damage your name, but yet, the thing that pissed me off, why aren't they doing a criminal complaint? Why is this civil?
Meanwhile, Mr. Watson playing, they're singing lower and lower. See, I think that there's a behind all this. They want to lower his stock trade down to the lowest they can get. So they can buy him out, but he'll play for anybody.
Yep. But you know, my thing, Gary, I don't understand. Sometimes that's an old saying. You don't give a man a stick to beat you with. Now, I don't know what the ham sandwich he needs, 1920 masseuses. But it is unreal that you have these individuals come forth. Now, again, if I got two daughters, and I'm like this, if you feel that this man has violated you, then you need to take his ass to court. And I mean criminally, not no silver trying to get paid.
Reggie, I agree with you, but see, what's happening now is, if you look at a woman the wrong way,
yeah,
I get that. But if you're a black man, you have to be doubly careful.
No. And you know, Gary, what gets me is how in the ham sandwich is the loser of the last election, the man that kind of overthrew this country, is walking around free. And if it was in any other country, he would not be not even walking around, if he wouldn't be in jail, his ass would be gone. See, that's why I don't understand it, man. It's not
there's a guy in Louisiana right now, Mr. Gates should be underneath the jail for what he's done. But because he's with Mr.
Judge of New York,
Donald Trump, he's
walking around here
saying, you can't touch me. Yes, you can. You're going to jail.
Well, you know what, Gary? It's just like this police trap. I know when my eyes, I know my ears, I know my eyes see, my ears hear. But this country has shown me that long, you might be wrong, but you're still white. As long as you're white, you are going to be white. And which brings me to Mr. Davis interviewed the new coach of the Carolina Tar Heels, a.k.a. North Carolina Tar Heels. I don't know if you saw his speech or heard his speech.
I think Mr. Davis is going to have a hard time.
Did you hear his speech, Gary?
Because of my alumni.
What was your thoughts on the speech? And then I'll give you mine.
Well, I think that if he wins, it'll be because of Williams Ford. If he wins, if he loses, now say, well, then he can't go anywhere. So why did we have it?
You know, the thing that bothered me, Gary, was that, okay, LaPorta has some of the significance of being the first black coach. North Carolina Tar Heels in Nashville. But hell, they don't have black coaches in other sports in Carolina. So it ain't like you bring
up. Now right. We got, this is the thing now. They can't get coaches. They can't, most of these schools cannot get coaches. But what is going on? They're going on NBA stars to coach them. Why? Because regular guys don't want to win the title more.
I think Stackhouse would have been a better choice. Number one, he has played in the NBA. Number two, he has previous coaching experience, even though he's not doing well at Vanderbilt, but he comes from the family of Carolina. And number three, he can relate to these younger players a lot better than Davis. With Davis,
I agree.
Here's my question to you, Gary. Did you hear his full speech when he was introduced as a new coach? Did you hear his full speech?
No, I didn't hear it at all.
Well, this is some of what he said. I know, and I'm paraphrasing, I know that the significance of me being the first black coach in his story, but I also want to let you know that I am married to a white woman, and I have the father of my
kids.
Go back and listen to it, Gary. Go back and listen to it, Gary. My antennas went up when he said
that. You really said that?
I hope Mike calls in, and I wish I could have called earlier when Mike and T-Mac were on the show. Yes, sir. He made sure that everybody had, that he had a European wife. Now, what the hand sounds your wife got to do with you coaching that team?
This is where African Americans better be very careful. Very careful
Thank
about
you.
This stuff. I'll tell you something. Many of North Carolina, do not like him because of that reason. They can't stand him because of that reason.
Yep.
Because they're going to go after him.
Yeah, but see, my thing, Carolina, yeah. We know Chapel is racist as hell. But my thing, it's been a culture, has already been cemented, that as long as you play sports and you're black, they ain't really come after you like talking about it. As long as you make money for that conference. But the real profanity is, as Dr. Evil say, that it took from here to the 60s to 2021 to have a black coach in basketball. That's profanity right there. Mm-hmm. If they had Matt Doherty, was horrible. I think the more significant, if you had a Ford or McAdoo or any of those guys back in that day that was hired as a coach, and you didn't have that many brothers in the ACC coaching back then.
Right.
Now my man Leonard Hamilton is kicking butt, taking names. You raised up Florida State. Florida State, man, he is just kicking ass and taking names when it comes to the ACC. But my thing is, you being Mr. Davis, being a black coach in Carolina, who cares? It wasn't even on the radar. So what? It shows the incompetence of your school being taken so long to come to everybody else. But when he said, I have a European wife, I was like, why did you interject that? You could have just thanked his wife and his kids and move on. But see, that just shows me a man that's not confident.
The reason why he said that was the play game.
Thank you.
That
was really disappointing to me for him to make that comment. My thing was, the comment was made, how do you feel being a great black coach? Okay, fine. half of my lovely wife and my kids. It's significant, but I think that we can move forward. And then talk about his coach philosophy. But he made sure, he broke his neck to make sure he interjected that. And I tell I think it's going to hurt him recruit. I really do. I think a lot of top black athletes, unless they open their checkbooks up and they find players like UNLV did back in the day. There was an old story where when UNLV was kicking butt and taking names, there was one player they were trying to get, and they couldn't get him. They said, why we didn't get him? He said, he cost too much. He said, what do you mean? This is what I said. He cost too much. We couldn't afford to get him. This was back in the 90s. You know, Grandmama and all those guys back in the day, you know, being
back in the old boy.
Kicking butt and taking names.
Reggie, we will never go back to those days again. I don't even go back to those days again.
Because the
governors are making sure, who's the lead goes and who's not.
One thing nobody not talking about is the transfer portal has opened up now. Before, a coach could tell you, yeah, I'll let you transfer, but you're not going to the Pac-10. But now, guess what? With COVID-19, NCAA has adjusted. These guys are jumping ship like the rats on the Hindenburg and like the rats on the Titanic. I mean, we got players from Virginia Tech, leaving Virginia Tech, going to mid-majors playing basketball because they got a shot. Now, when have you ever seen that? That guy go from a major ACC conference to a mid-major because they say, hell, I can play and I can contribute right away.
Well, the Missouri Valley is probably that because they, Missouri Valley is going to be a powerhouse next year because people are transferring out of major schools.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
That's what they got. And I tell you right now, Gary, I guarantee you, when football opens back up, you're going to have a lot of high school kids going to have to go to junior college just to
make the transition.
A lot of these football coaches are not going to recruit high school kids. You're going to have to be a hell of a player to get a high school contract. That's where it's a contract to get in the door to play college football. So a lot of these mid-majors and a lot of these other kids are going to move up, and they're going to say, hey, I got a kid that's already know about the college life. He's mature. His body's mature. I don't have to deal with no parents. 16, 17, shot no kid. They worry the hell out of me. They change by the last minute.
I guarantee you.
The ACC, look, they've been rating the HBCU schools already in basketball. They've been doing that for less. When Nolan Richardson was coaching Arkansas, he came to Virginia Union and got Jamie Wilder and put him on the Arkansas team. That was back in the late 90s. And that's when Union was winning national championships in basketball. Everybody come to Union trying to play their players. So what does that tell you?
You're right.
You know, that's why you and I disagree when you say, I wish all the HCs get together. Guess what, Gary? They all together. They're a farm team for the D1 school.
I know.
So you said that they got the facility.
That's why I keep trying to get this.
And what happened?
You understand that if all these African-American schools join hands, They can block that guy, but they don't want to do that.
Gary, don't take offense to what I'm about to say, but you dealt with black folks before. Now, just think about educated black folks. No, I ain't finished it. Just think about educated black folks. They have an ego, and they want everything to be their way. See, that's why you see the facilities in a lot of these schools right now when it comes to athletics are worse than some high schools. You got high school facilities that are a lot better than HBCU facilities. And then I can tell you, when you got less than 2,000 people come to a game before COVID-19 and half the stands not even filled, you know how demoralized that is to players and students? But yet they go to a high school game where it's 15,000 to 20,000 there. Then they go on the road to some of these European schools and the stadium sold out of 25,000 to 30,000, 40,000. That's why a lot of times when they play those games in the playoffs, they go on the road, those white schools are packed. And I mean, they are local and vocal. Hell, we got maybe 500 people from the Virginia State on the road to West Virginia, and West Virginia got about 8,000 to 9,000 strong up in the state. Other than Winston-Salem, guess what? In the CIAA, Winston-Salem is the only school that travels. The rest of the schools don't travel for crap.
So what can we do to change this paradigm?
You know, Gary, and all due respect, my brother, the paradigm is long gone. There's no change at all. You know, you got schools right now financially strapped because HBCU, you got administrative costs, which when President Obama took over and made it hard for HBCU in order for them to get loans for the parents so that they
why is it so difficult for president of schools to understand that sports can be the engine to get money into the schools?
Because, Gary, I told you, when you got presidents of some HBCU that are more upset that their pitcher is not on, that more pictures of them are not on the program for homecoming than a football program. That tell you all you need to know. You got
infight with
when you got alumni numbers telling the coach, I got a couple kids in North Carolina. I want you to put them on the team, and you don't recruit. That's the kind of BS that goes on. See, Gary, I see a lot of stuff off the ad. I can't say on the ad that goes on, and I trust it. I know what I'm talking about from my colleagues that have gave me stories.
Yeah. What I'd like you to do, but this fall, this coming football season, I would like to have Virginia State, to come on my radio show and see what they say.
All right, let's see what we can do.
They're welcome to come on my show.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, and I definitely pass that on to them. Because even when it comes to HBCU, you'd be surprised how haphazardly they got the CIAA Sports Network. And one time they just had a camera at one of the games, football games. You can hear the students back there complaining about it's cold out here. Why we out here holding the camera? They had no sideline supporters, nobody holding the mic describing the game. They just had a camera out there.
That's got to change.
My thing is, Gary, when you got young folks who were killed to be in a position to be sports analysts, and you've got a communication, every HBCU school should have a communication department, especially in radio. It's not TV, radio. And I tell you, when they do not have the education to interview these guys, they're not used to the community. I can tell you, we had the Freedom Classes about two or three years ago. And the girls played before the guys. I immediately asked, where are the times the female coaches ladies team coming out.
Already on TV, right? Yeah.
They only had the media set up for the men and not the ladies. And I'm saying,
you can't do that.
That's what they did. Now, see, again, Gary, you asked why HBCUs have problems. Just a little significant thing like that tells you where they think about these student athletes. And I can tell you, the first time they had the women playing, and I asked about them setting up an interview, the coach of you didn't know nothing about it. They had to rush her home. The Virginia State coach had gotten his car and drove home. He wasn't even there.
Yeah.
They didn't set it up. The
on the West Coast, there's only one HBCU out of the West Coast. I've called them a couple of times. They didn't want to come on the air. They don't want to come on the air.
So what excuse did they give you?
Well, number one, you're in Northern California. We're in Southern California.
So they're telling you in this age of internet and podcast where you can hear stations from overseas as well as in different states.
I have interest in Korea, Japan, and China. So what was that
going
to do?
He's
like, come on, guys.
So, Gary, you just blew my point, didn't you? So you just blew my point, didn't you, Gary?
Yep.
Okay, so if you're that frustrated, how you think I feel here on the East Coast?
Well, we have to work together. I just don't see the avenue because, I call them to L.A. It's like, who are you? What do you want? How good are you? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I rest my case, Jack. And see, one thing about the East Coast, expired and now got the Kiana and others many years with them being in the SWAT. Now you start to see some of the podcasts, some of the others starting to step up.
The best one I've seen so far is Dr. Kiana Cavill. That guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
But check this out, Garrett. Now you know that I'm just going to say a former co-host of ours, his name, but Doc was on his show, and we had our radio show for 20 years. Now, look at where Doc was back then to where he is now.
I tried working with this today. What are you talking about?
I'm not missing your first name.
You cannot get me to do that.
Yeah. But see, my thing, Gary, I wish the person well. You know what I'm saying?
But he needs to be real about what he's doing.
But see, I'm not going to push white supremacy and racism just to somebody else put money in their pocket. You know, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I wish him well, and I moved on. Reggie, some of the programming he has on his show, I would not have on my show because it's counterproductive to what black people are doing.
Yep. See, eventually it catches up to you. And you got to sell your soul, but we ain't going to talk about that no more. You sell your soul eventually, payment is due. But let's talk about this case where this murderer in Minneapolis as I said on Mike's show, I've not seen so many police officers testify against a former police officer in my life. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. This case is one of the clearest cases I've seen in many, many years. If this police officer gets off on a technicality, we got a real serious problem in this country. Because this fool not only that was downright murder in the first degree. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Now if he gets off on technicality, which I think he will, we got a problem.
You do know that some of the jurors have relatives who are police officers. You do know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep, it's two or three of those jurors that have law enforcement in their family. I guess they couldn't kick them all off.
Reggie, I've been called for jury duty 3 times.
I've been called 8.
but.
Hey, and I done got out of every last one of them, but I'm going to say this to you, Gary.
I truly believe. I got out of 2 of the 3.
Yep, I got about 8 of them. If they call me again for jury duty, I'm going to take it. But see, you know what always gets me kicked off? When they ask if anybody here has family members who are law enforcement. Well, you know I do.
I do too.
You know?
Yeah.
So that tells me right there. When they ask about law enforcement, Pat retired as a police officer, and my cousin Jim is a sergeant down in Nashville.
How's your cousin doing with the new football team?
He's hanging in there with it. You know, right now, COVID-19, you know, anytime it's a minor league, they have to have a standstill capacity. Well, it's only a number of people that can be in there.
Right.
You know, that's what he's fighting right now. So hopefully we can find a sponsor.
They're going to start the season.
He said they tried.
So we'll
see what happens in July.
I think it's going to be a hard road.
Well, the 26th of April, I get my first COVID shot, you know. So my second shot is May the 16th. As I get my 2 shots, you know, then I'm going to hop my happy ass on the plane, and I'm going to travel up there, you know, hoping for
the first day. Okay, I got my first shot this morning. I was like,
how you? You got your first shot this morning, Gary?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I'm fine.
Well, you tough. Big G, you tough, Big G. You tough. That's a New Jersey tough. How your arm feel? How your arm feel?
It's a little sore.
Yeah, but what made me so angry is that the health department here in Virginia is so damn incompetent. I had to go to my cancer doctor in order to go to
Don't give me that.
Oh, man.
You know what I had to do?
It's so incompetent. It's bad.
I had to get a friend. I go to bed about 10 o'clock. They were telling me I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning to get a schedule appointment. I think it's crazy.
Jesus Christ. Are you serious, Gary?
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning.
The morning.
Wow.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So what I did was I had a friend of mine with a healthcare worker who got my appointment finally.
Is that my Lord and Savior, Dr. Evil, in the house?
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
hold it. Before we do anything right now, Mike, did you hear the press conference of the new head coach of the New York, damn. No kind of town here, basketball day. Did you hear the press conference?
Oh, you mean that he's proud that his wife is white?
Please tell Gary about it.
Oh, Lord.
I cannot believe that he actually would say that.
Now, I'm going to let Dr. Eva explain it to you. And I want you to give it to him raw, Dr. Eva.
Yeah.
Give it to him
raw.
Just
talking about not
raw.
Ready for prime time. Yes, so Hubert Davis is in the interview as the first black head coach of the Tar Heels. And as he's talking about things, he goes on a tip about, well, you know, we're going to do this, and the other. But then he started talking about what he was thankful for, and then he's proud of the fact that he's the first black head coach, and I share on that. But then he came out of his mouth saying that he was proud that his wife was white. Now, I don't judge anybody on stupidity. Unless it's self-inflicted. Unless it's self-inflicted.
Why would you say that? Gary, let him finish. Let him get better, Gary.
Well,
let him finish.
Well,
him
there finish. You go. The whole point was, and he said it rather calmly, like, you know, yeah, you know, well, this, we've heard talk about trophy wives and what they mean and all the other stuff. But,
she ain't no trophy wife. That's
exactly. But my point is, he made a point of, like, saying he was proud of his wife and his three mixed kids. Now, if he had said just that, that would have been the end of it. But he was proud of his white wife and his three mixed kids. So it was, this wasn't even a Yogi Berra kind of mistake. This was just a airhead stupidity.
Michael, why would he even...
I do, Gary, get upset.
But, Michael, look, you're the first black coach at UNC. Why would you even say, and the young people down there,
of course. And it's going to be even worse now that he made this faux pas in the press conference, because this is worse than, hey, Doug, how long have you been a black quarterback? This is, well, you know, I'm proud to be a black head coach, and I'm proud of my white wife. Now, we got to question QB's judgment on this shit, because we don't care if his wife was white. We didn't care.
No.
I mean, collectively, we didn't care. Yeah, we didn't care, but now he's made everybody, like, say, what, when he did this? Because that's what he did.
Hey, Mike, I was on the Mighty Oval talk show today, and you said the same thing another guy said. Say, what?
Exactly.
Let Dr. Eva have it.
Go ahead and let Dr. Eva have it. I can't wait to hear this.
I mean,
I'm standing down this one. I want Dr. Eva to have full autonomy.
We talk about faux pas and Freudian slips and things of that nature and stuff and what goes on behind it. Now, we know a player and a coach must have poise to handle certain situations. And he's in front of the podium for the first time as the head coach of North Carolina Tar Heels. But now that he's brought this into the mix, he's left himself right for being a target. Because somebody in that audience if they didn't, if they weren't on code and they did understand the ramification of what he says, they could have carved his black ass up and took 6 inches off of him by like, what do you mean by your white wife, sir? You know, we didn't know your wife was white. You know, are you proud because she's white? What would the black people say if they said you were
Michael,
proud of your
Michael,
white wife?
Michael.
Well, let's put it this way, G.
If this fool loses, and your guy, as I see, he can't coach.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
He put himself, he put himself in a fight he can't get out of.
He made himself
that's
vulnerable.
I want you, that's why I want you to hear Mike say the story, Gary. I want you to get the footprint.
Yep, he made himself vulnerable in what he said. But a lot of times, well, you know what they say, that's that saying about, it's one thing to have people think you say you're smooth, then you open your mouth and leave no doubt. Well, that's that kind of moment. You
well,
know.
Michael, there's like these two idiots, ABC TV.
Exactly.
You have two Asian sisters.
Mm-hmm.
How you really feel, Gary? How you really feel?
Married. White man with I don't care.
Yeah, married low
two
phone.
Asian sisters are browbeating black people.
Right. Right.
They've been doing it for the past 2 years. They finally got caught. They got caught last month.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They got caught doing it.
Hey, but Gary,
and
talk,
these
Gary.
Two sisters. I'm gonna pay the matter by any debate the price. They need pay the price.
They do.
But Gary, check it out. If a black woman like Janet Jackson or Eve marry a billionaire European or somebody damn that look like them, then the sisters have done great. Rather get a European wife for his black ass to coach out either. His black ass to be stirred up and calmed down to the
That's
white
right.
people.
This is the United States of America where the skin game is supreme. It may take others longer than others to get into the game, but once they end, they know the goal. You know?
Yep.
Suspect is a black male. You know? And every other stereotype that follows. Now, you know the only reason that they won't roast his black ass for what he said is because it is the University of North Carolina.
Yep.
And
Tar
the mouse and the mouse. That's right. And the mouse is going to be attached to them because they know they're going to need them.
Hey, this is 707 calling in. And just as you know, I just want to step in here and show that I'm not afraid to walk down on the same side of the street as you guys, you know.
Come on in here, brother. Come on in
I'm
here.
Not,
perfect time.
I'm not crossing to the other
phone.
Side of the street, you know. But just like last week, you know, I offered, you know, a different perspective that, you know, I acknowledged, you know, you may well not agree with as to the Minneapolis case. And I just want to offer, obviously, I guess by the sound of my voice, I'm of the Caucasian orientation. And
no.
Let me just
God bless you.
Yeah,
God
well,
bless
you know, I'm a very well spoken. You know, I'm very well spoken for my race, so sometimes people do get confused, you know.
God bless you. Come on in.
Let me ask you a question.
No, wait. Let me make my statement first, if you may.
Okay,
if I may.
I got a question to ask you after you get done.
Okay. The point that I'm making, and you may well object to it, and I'd, you know, be happy to listen to that, of course, but it occurs to me, and maybe I'm a little naive, and, you know, that what Hubert Davis did here is try to step past the skin game. That, let me finish, please. Let me finish. You'll have a lot to object to, but let me get to my point. whenever, you know, and you know, you have to be aware of this too, that whenever, you know, a black person breaks the so-called color barrier, it's always phrased, as it is here, he's the first black head coach. He's always painted with the black designation. And what Davis may have been doing here is trying to, you know, move past that in the perhaps the fantasy that we're moving to, you know, a race neutral situation where, you know, he gets his job and they say, you know, how does it feel to be the first black head coach? And he says, I'm reading his quote, I'm very proud to be African American. But I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm proud of my three beautiful kids that are a combination of both of us. In that quote, which is admittedly awkwardly phrased, and I acknowledge the truth of all the, you know, objections that you raised, but could it be that he's trying to say, yeah, I'm proud to be an African American, and I'm proud that I've kind of stepped past the box that you try to put me in, and my family is blended. And yes, my wife is white, and we have an integrated family. We are not just in the black box. So it's a way of saying, don't just put me in the black box. Don't just say I'm the first black head coach. You know, in my own personal family, I've kind of moved past that. Now, again, that may be naivete on my part, but I'm just offering that as a different perspective.
All right, let me get the first day first.
Uh-oh.
Hubert Davis is black.
Uh-oh.
Right?
What's that?
Hubert Davis is black, right?
Yeah.
He is the first black coach at UNC, correct?
UNC, yes.
All right. Now, why would you even bring up your wife? You are...
Well, I'll answer that,
job,
because...
Your job is to coach 18... the 22-year-old.
Okay.
Nothing to do with your old wife. And see, what he was trying to do, and this is what angered me more than anything else, he was trying to placate the alumni at UNC, saying, I am not a threat to you. Yes, he is, because he's the first one.
No, but again, the question was asked to him. He did not raise the racial issue. The question, the question was asked to him by the media. They put race in play. And
they always do.
He injected his wife,
right,
though. That's the thing.
Right.
He injected his wife. And my thing, sir, my thing is, I've listened to other people, not just me, and I can't wait to Dr. Evil talk. But a lot of people already said, why did he even bring that up? You have a plethora of young black folks who have, when Charlie Strong took the job at Texas, he never said anything about his wife. I can go on and on by other coaches who have European wives that don't reject it. He's getting paid to coach a team, not to talk about family values or family values.
Thank you.
And it's real disappointing, in my opinion, for him to go out of his way. And I live in Richmond, Virginia. I got family in North Carolina, so I'm very familiar with that place, that part of town. And it's really saddened me
that he interjected that part. And for North Carolina in 2021 to just have their first black coach is despicable. That says a lot about the school.
And he did it, Reggie, to be nice to the guys. That's why he did it. That's why I'm angry.
Yeah. Come on, Dr.
Be
E.
Old
I can't
man.
Wait you.
You want to coach the coach team? I don't care about your wife. Do we, okay, Art, let me ask you a question. Do we care about Coach K's wife? No. Huh? Do we?
Well, again, it was the media, the evil media, who inserted...
Let me finish my point.
No, they asked the question. I'm reading it right here. They asked
no,
him, how does it feel?
Let me get this straight right now.
All
right. If he has said, I am proud to be the coach of my guy, we will go on and win the ACC. Nobody would say a word.
Come on, Dr. Evil.
Look, all I'm saying here is that you have to digest what he said. I'm proud to be the first African-American coach, blah, blah, blah. I'm proud of my white wife. Why? Hold on, G. You didn't even have to inject that. I'm proud of my beautiful wife. You could say that. I'm proud of my kids. My family is looking forward to everything that comes with the challenge of upholding the tradition of Tar Heel basketball.
Thank you. There you go. That's what you say.
But hold on. Because this is why in the post-ESPN world, we have to always look at the depth and breadth of this stuff. Now, the light will go on for him later on. If it didn't already, he had like a oh shit moment, which that basically really was. I don't give a rat's ass that your wife is white.
And neither do I.
You know? And neither does anybody else, but I know, and this may be speculation on my part, he's putting it out there because as a coach of a big basketball program like that, his family is going to be exposed, you know, for good or bad or whatever. So if he just said, my wife and my kids are looking forward to being coach and everything that comes with it, you know, we were raised on Tar Heel basketball. I played there, blah, 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 blah. We've always thought what it would be like if we could do these things in the guise of me being coach of the team. All of that. I'm sure he had all of that in mind. I really feel confident in that regard. But when he...
Michael, hold on, wait a minute.
You asked me, so let me finish.
Yeah, I know you asked me. Calm down, G. I'm pissed off right now.
Everybody's calm. It's just that...
Yeah, drink some water, G. Calm down.
As a coach or student athlete, you know, you being under the Klieg light, so to speak, when you're in a press conference. It's one thing if you're like you made the winning shot to win the game and stuff like that. Your mindset is like, okay, they're not going to throw anything at me because we're talking about me succeeding. All right. Now, this is different because now he's been given the challenge to be a head coach and then succeed as that head coach. So the stigma of him being the first black coach, because whenever there's a first black anything in this country, it's always a left-handed compliment at best. And it's always a tinge of, well, what she's going to do, what she's going to do. I know, I'm just saying, but this is not one of those upside the head racist things. This is one of those where somebody puts sprinkles on it and stuff, you know, to try to dial it up. He did it himself.
He gave him a stick to beat him with. And I'll say this, I'll let you back to Mike. My thing is, if he doesn't win a national championship in 1 or 2 years, his black ass is gone. He was not the best candidate, in my opinion. He was not the best candidate. I was disappointed they hired him. He wasn't the best candidate. I'm sorry. Stackhouse would have been a better candidate. I don't know why they hired him.
Look, North Carolina is a basketball power. They know they're going to get attention, win or lose. They also know that they were not in the loop this year to the depth that they expect. ESPN expects them to be on the air a lot, and normally it's going to be because they're winning games. You know, remember, this is a college team. This is not like the NFL where there's a whole different set of parameters. Because now he's going to be rated not just for what he's not going to do, because
okay,
basically
Michael,
this is like hold on, Gary, because this is basically a 60-game tryout. Two seasons. And I think Reggie's on the case with this. He's got two seasons to make good. And if he does not succeed, yes, he will be pulled like a bad tooth. But the fact that he's going to be listening to the evening news, not just locally, but elsewhere, hearing people discuss what we're discussing right now, it's not a good start. And it wasn't because he did it on purpose. Wherever his head was at, this is a true what the fuck moment, because
yes.
What, your wife being white has nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with basketball at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, guys. When North Carolina played Duke, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
ESPN going to for Duke every time. What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me change the paradigm here and go back to, say, you know, a different time in history. Suppose we'll take a Jewish university, Yeshiva University, say. Hires its first Catholic head coach. And at his thing, they say, well, what's it like to be the first Catholic head coach at this Jewish university? And he says, well, I'm very happy to be a coach. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm very proud of my family and my Jewish wife and our mixed religion children. Is that an equal bonehead movement or moment or different? Why?
Color.
What are we talking about the bad days? What are we talking about the bad week? Huh?
You're going to have to give me that again.
Color's not the
same
paradigm.
What are we talking about this bad week?
Gary, color's not the same paradigm as religion. I mean, we know that.
I have to say this. The media would not go after him, and Michigan would go after Davis.
No, they would not. And ironically, you said Yeshiva, which is near where I went to school at George Washington High School, so I was kind of smiling at that. But if a Gentile is going to coach at a Jewish school, you better believe they had to think that this person was the best candidate for the job by far.
Thank you.
Being born and raised in New York, I can tell you,
right.
Jews don't deal with Gentiles unless they absolutely have to. So the fact that this Gentile would be their next head coach would speak to his level of expertise. They would have to believe that he is the best among the best. And if he has a Jewish wife, hey, so much, it's a good thing. That's fine. But they would not savage him because he said, hey, you know, my Jewish wife, Miriam, and I, we are looking forward to the challenge here. And, of course, it would not be on the menu of sports things to take apart in the sports universe. Even ESPN couldn't attack this with any type of thing other than saying, oh, okay, it's just another news item. It may not be a big one, but it's just another news item. This, with what Hubert Davis did, is different because he went from
my white wife to my wife. And that's the difference. He injected color. Nobody would have gave a rat's ass about his wife.
Nobody cared.
Hold on, Gary, especially if he wins the conference and goes into postseason. They're like, hey, for hooray for him, you know, for the wife, hey, keep doing what you got to do for him and whatnot. We're doing okay. You know, it's that kind of thing. But, no, color makes it all different.
Didn't we have a similar thing here? The woman who was the coach of the Arizona women's team had a quote something like, you know, she's proud of herself as, you know, a black woman, a mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she was pregnant during this or just gave birth or something. And I think she made a comment about her white husband.
Mm-hmm.
But what? Okay, this is the difference between the two, Arden. The NCAA ignored her. So she made a voice saying, here I am, you deal with me. When you had a press conference, and you had 3 or 4 teams in a picture, and he heard you out, hello? Come on,
no, but how is it? No, here's my question. How is it different? It's okay for her to comment on the fact that she's got a white husband.
Because she's defending herself because she's ignored. Hello?
But here's my point. Isn't the Tar Heel coach, again, in a way, defending himself from, again, being, as Michael, I think, said, being you know, given the, you know, the left-hand compliment of being the first black coach. He's trying to move himself beyond this black label and say, look, I'm just not a black guy. In fact, in my home, we are multiracial.
Art, you perform through your actions. Your actions speak louder than your words.
Hey, Carla, can I ask a question? Are you trying to say that this is identity politics? What's going on? Are you trying to use that phrase?
Well, I don't really understand what that phrase means. I know that phrase got some currency in the dialogue, but I've never understood it. But what I am commenting on is how there's this, you know, blow up where Davis comments on his white wife, but the Arizona coach, she got more blown up when she flipped the bird and said, F these people. But when she talked about, you know, but let me finish. When she, you know, was talking about how she's, you know, pumping breast milk in halftime and got a white husband, again, the comment of white husband and white wife here were having different results. And it's the same kind of comment.
Okay, here's my question. Who pushed the scenario? The media. And again, you can say leftist media, but you got some right media over there that have an agenda too. And again, historically, when Mr. Davis was announced, historically, he was the first black coach. And I said what I said before. That's indictment on the school. In 2021, when Leonard Davis was doing at Florida State, and you just have your first black coach, that says a lot about the school right there. And I've never been a Tar Heel fan. If you know, and I'm sure, you don't know anything about the history of North Carolina when they came to John B. McClendon, who taught basketball under Naismith, and also a Big House game. I don't know if you're familiar with those gentlemen. And Charlie Scott, but from the historical point of view, the base has already been set as far as the race and as far as the agenda in basketball. Anything, Carolina dropped the ball way back in the day. When Matt Dorian was coaching, that was a big blow up then. Not trying to be too offended, but you had to know that this year it was Carolina and what's going on. Go ahead, Mike.
If I can, let me interject this as well, because there's something else that's going on here besides skin color and ethnicity. Money. This is about money. Come on now. If you're the head coach at UNC, you're making more enough than to buy more than a couple of bags of groceries. You know, you got a position that's paying you a hot salary. I mean, let's remember that. North Carolina basketball is up there with Alabama football. Now, you may not be getting that much, but it's made its brand as being that viable. So the compensation issue makes it even more profound. So if he's saying what he's saying, and it's an oops moment or what the fuck moment, you know, that will take care of itself if they go 7-0, 8-0 in the first part of next season, wherever that may be. But for him to slip up and just say, yeah, I'm proud of my white wife. Well, you know, if you're married and you're happy, you're proud of your wife, period. The reason I say that is because if things are going well in a relationship where there's multi-ethnic situations involved and they see that the wife is happy, you know, her friends are going to go, oh, girl, you're glowing. Look at you. You know, what's going on? You know she's happy. In the meantime, if he's got the blues because things ain't right and, you know, they come up to him, yo, Hubie, what's going on, baby? And he's like, oh, man, my wife is a pain in the ass. You know, now he's not saying his wife is a white pain in the ass or a black pain in the ass. She's a pain in the ass, and it's affecting the relationship. So, unfortunately, his willingness to inject that may have taken it in a direction where anyone who is a sports writer or connected with this will say, this is not a good look for the university. Not that he said that he had a white wife, but that he had to say he had a white wife. And that's the problem.
And I'll say real quick, as far as the Arizona coach, as far as the Arizona coach, let's not forget the NCAA mistreatment of the women when the tournament first started. We saw the disaster with the weight room. We saw the disaster with food. And also, let's not forget, sir, when it came to the NCAA talking about the four teams in the Final Four, guess what team they left out? Arizona. Then they had to backtrack and say, oh, we're sorry, we apologize. And that kind of incompetence is inexcusable.
Yes.
But yet, again, when it comes to the Heritage Foundation, and a little bit of political history here, the Heritage Foundation is a think tank where conservatives get together and they know how to use phrases like cancel culture, identity identity politics. So you have little buzzwords like that that Europeans like to use in order to go ahead and make their point. And the Democrats, and that's sorry asses, and I say I'm independent, not Democrat, they get swift voted every damn time when it comes to using certain catchphrase. So that's why I said to you, my caller, when it comes to Mr. Davis interjecting that, he put a target on his back. Ain't nobody give a damn about his wife. He the one did that. When it comes to the Arizona women and the media are trying to do everything they can to push a narrative because that was their platform. A lot of times when it comes to sports and also the media, we've seen with the NCAA mistreatment of the women. That's why they had to go to these different stories. So I had no problem with how they try to at least tell the story of what the women go through. Because men not having babies, women are.
Reggie, go back three spaces because let me just add this quickly. The bottom line in all of this was that the women's tournament was supposed to end with South Carolina against UConn. That's what they want.
Exactly.
That's what they wanted, and we know they do script these things. Somebody didn't fit the script, and Arizona was part of that, and they did not, you know, conform. They were not supposed to be among those teams. Now, the girls – give them their credit. They played their way through. But it changed the diet. It changed everything because she was not supposed to be there. So when she had the press conference and whatnot and said what she said, you know, there may even been a little bit of sour grapes behind that, but it doesn't matter. The bottom line here is that Hubie is coming into a position where he has a substantial job. That's an upgrade from what a lot of other college coaches have been in. He's getting big time paid because of the fact that he's the coach, which means he's going to bear the responsibility, and that also means he is holding up as their de facto CEO in the organization on and off the court. So, as that guy used to say,
unlike football, basketball is the face of North Carolina. Sorry, it's not football. So he's the face of that university.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, gentlemen, here's the example of what you're talking about. See, Gonzaga University, who played in the WAC conference.
Right.
21 years ago, the WAC conference was a minor conference.
That's right. It was.
Gonzaga, Gonzaga, getting you to go to the NCAA year after year after year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga finally made it to the finals this year, undefeated season.
They made their bones.
Any moron could know that Gonzaga was not going to be better. Why? Because Baylor had the
athletes. Hey, you call Dickie V a moron? Because Dickie V and those experts all had them blowing their doors out. Oh, Baylor just scored again.
But Gary, you're right. Gonzaga came in out of Spokane, Washington, not a hotbed of activity aside from their basketball program, and they slowly built a program. They did it through trial and error because they were. Well, that's the whole point. And in spite of that, they were able to negotiate their way through and get people there consistently, become a consistent competitor in the tournaments over several years consecutively. They had positive records, and they were just starting to finally get into the framework of things because, all right, this coach has set up this program. They're doing this with that, and now we have to consider them as a potential candidate to win a championship. They're not in a Big Five conference. You just said it right off the bat. The WAC is a smaller conference. You got them and maybe St. Mary's, and ain't too many other schools after that that people know about.
I can name it. What name? Portland, Santa Clara, San Diego.
Yeah, but again, they're not impact schools. You know, they're not going to rock the world when the tournament comes out and they'll say, who do we have to fear and in what conference? You know, they always go to the big schools. I mean, the Big Ten always sends 8 to 10 schools every year. And we know by the time the first round is over, 6 or 7 of them are out. But it doesn't matter. They're the Big Ten.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation. So
yeah.
If Gonzaga managed to make things
Michael,
all the time, they went through more power to them.
Michael, Gonzaga did not have the athletes. Well, I mean this. Baylor had someone, not two, but three centers.
I know.
Centers.
But, well, you
how
know, you're offering.
Does that?
Guys, you're offering up Texas as opposed to Spokane, Washington. That's part of it. Now, I'm sure a student athlete will go wherever he can get an opportunity or she gets an opportunity to play with a scholarship. But if you got to choose, you know, they have a bigger talent pool to pick from. That's a lot of it right there. You know, if that athlete knows that he can go there and stay near home or be where he's and near stuff, that's one thing. Spokane's in Eastern Washington in the middle of nowhere. I know because I've driven through it.
Here's the razor aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of Gonzaga is Caucasian. The majority of them.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't got no problem with that. I have a problem. But the majority of Baylor was black. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you look at the media that week of the NCAA Finals, what were they doing? All of the media was praying and hoping that Gonzaga could pull this through. Oh, yeah, we're going to have an undefeated season. Oh, we're going to have another undefeated team. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Well, hold on. You brought up something that brings up bad memories for the University of Kentucky because that's what their mindset was when they played
that's
Texas
right.
Western
exactly.
back in 1965.
Exactly.
They were making statements to the press that the athletes from Texas Western were so great that they could do everything with a ball except autograph it. So we knew that there was a tinderbox effect happening when they played that game, and I was a little Rudy Poot when that game was on air. And all I remember from the beginning was David Hatton. Big Big Daddy Latin dunked that ball viciously, and that set the tone for the entire game.
The first 5 minutes, that game was over. First 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, they were making the point, but see, the NCAA's bigger problem now is going to be how are they going to do this next year? Because now the kids will get a little something. If Reggie is playing for a high-profile program, then maybe Reggie can set up his own website. Maybe he can get Patreon or one of those other places to throw money in the pot for him, you know, for his college fund, so to speak. It'll be legal in the guise of these guys finally getting some, because for all of these years, the NCAA was taking that away from them and being vicious with their eligibility, hanging over them by like a sword of Damocles. If they didn't get or they didn't comply to the 180 pages or whatever the hell it is, the damn book of things that they can't do. So if Reggie went and got a ham sandwich from somebody who wasn't, who bought it for him, compliance could come in and take away his eligibility or suspend him because of that damn sandwich.
Well,
that's the level
that
you're talking about.
It's like you're going to listen to that lesson very hard. It's like, look, we had a center that was off campus. I'll never forget this. We won the Missouri Valley the year earlier. This center had a job off campus.
Mm-hmm.
The coach gave that center a 1969 Ford Chevy. I'll never forget this. The NCAA came on campus, told the coach, told the player that was illegal. And they suspended SIU for 3 years. 3 years probation for that one car.
Well, Gary, you make a great point, because had that been the University of North Carolina, do you really believe they would have took them out of the loop for 3 years? They did what they did to SIU because they knew they could. We've reported on things happening at Savannah State. Reggie's been talking about things at HBU schools where the compliance officers get in there and they get in their ass and make it difficult for them. I mean, Des Bryant got suspended for a year for getting that ham sandwich from Deion Sanders when he took him to lunch. And that was at Oklahoma City. You know, now if he plays at an SEC school, maybe that doesn't happen. But Oklahoma State doesn't have the same pull as Alabama or Auburn.
USC. Boy, if I had to stick, I would beat USC down to the white meat. USC
continue
to do this.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm across the other side of the street now.
USC.
I'm getting nervous all of a sudden here.
Reggie Bush was ungovernable.
Listen,
you get this guy the Heisman Trophy, and then you take it away from him. Get out of here!
Well, it's definitely somebody being a weasel in doing what they did after he produced like he did. Now, if Reggie Bush has a clause in his agreement that when he plays, if he's playing now at the University of Southern California, and they already know his number is 5. If Reggie Bush gets even 50 cents off of every number 5 jersey that's sold at USC while he's starring there, he's going to make a decent little bit of money that will allow him to have a life. If out of 100,000 fans at the stadium are there and they're all in the defensive dan 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 dan, and let's say for argument's sake, 5,000 of those people are wearing Reggie Bush jerseys. Okay, that's what 2,500 or 250. I'm not sure. 2,500. $2,500, which could go a long way to helping him have a stabilized college life where, you know, he wants to take his girl out. He can do that. If he wants to buy a shirt or something like that, he can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. And if they want to send him things at ReggieBush.com or whatever, he can incorporate himself. He can do all of that. You know, you're getting what you're getting from him. You made your deal and whatnot, but now the kid gets something and he's not going to be punished. And that's a big difference because you get the feeling that the kid was pimped out and lost and turned out by what the administration of the school did. They know what's going on, and if they really cared about the kid, the compliance officer would say to them, hey, you know what? We found out that Reggie Bush had dinner with some brothers and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. Please be notified that the receipts must be kosher, et cetera, so to speak. And he won't get a cut. There won't be a problem. But their whole idea is we've been controlling this for a long time. We've been able to get by saying they're getting an education when they're really getting an education on how to get screwed. So now that you have to maybe share a little bit of this and break off a little some, come on. That's what should have happened a long time ago. And now we're at the point where the NCAA must comply.
Michael, the number five. You number five?
Mm-hmm.
Five at the University of Michigan.
Yep.
I can still buy a number five jersey at the University of Michigan. We all know
yeah,
that's number five
right. Oh, I know. I had my own experience with that when I bought a number four Michigan jersey years after Chris Webber split the scene.
I mean, number four.
Chris Webber, yes. It was at a Modell's.
Yep.
In the late 1990s, the jersey was $19.99. Now, it's one thing if you're buying a Michigan jersey. Maybe you don't buy that Michigan jersey if that number is not there. I saw Dennis Rodman's college jersey where he played at Southwestern Oklahoma, the Savages. Number 10 jersey was for sale in that same bin. It didn't matter. They made money off the school. I mean, they made money off the kid. The Savages.
I saw a Chris Webber jersey.
Yes.
I saw a Chris Webber jersey 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That jersey
How long has it been since you left? Brand new.
When did Chris Webber graduate?
Exactly.
When did he go to the NBA? What year was that?
That's a good question.
1823.
Close. Yeah. But it's got to be at least 25, 30 years old.
Okay, this boy in Berkeley was wearing that jersey, walking around Berkeley. That's a brand new jersey.
Yeah. They knew. They knew when the Fab Five was out there, and you said number five, which was Jalen Rose's number. They knew. They made money off those kids.
They made money off the style of the dress that they had.
All of those. Him, Rose, Howard. All of them, Jackson, everybody in that group, they made money off of them. I mean, it was a naked cash grab.
Yep.
Knowing that these kids had put these numbers up and pumped them up publicly, but yet they don't get a dime to show for it, you know, and you're going to then suspend somebody for 3 years because of a car?
No. And in the meantime, this is the thing about small schools compared to middle schools, SIU gets suspended for 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
SIU is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, nowhere. So these kids were going to go to college. I'm not going to SIU because they can't go to the NCAAs. They can't go to the NIDs. So they're going elsewhere. So in the fourth year when SIU comes back, they can't recruit anybody.
Yeah, no, that's right. They punish them for having to dare share something. I remember Rick Majerus when he was coach at Marquette. paying for a funeral for one of the kids. This has been going on for a very, very long time. And they're not going to deviate from this until they're forced to comply. Now the door is open. So we'll see compliance, hopefully. I'm not sure, but we'll see it, at least in theory.
And this should have been, this should have been done 20, 30 years ago. I remember having this conversation with another gentleman who said the MTA can't pay these guys. I was kind of like, are you crazy? University of Ohio State in Michigan, every Saturday. Now, let's think about this, gentlemen. For eight Saturdays in the fall, they had over 100,000 people going to a football game, paying for $80 per ticket of the game.
At least. Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me you can't pay that? Get out of here!
Listen. The Ohio State-Michigan game, just to take from that game, would pay the budgets of every HBCU.
HBCU, thank you.
That's how much money we're talking about here. And because of it, the premise that you would have to share anything or give up something, remember the Auburn situation with Cam Newton? They wanted this black ass.
Boy,
and they couldn't do it. And they couldn't get his black ass because he was playing in the SEC.
Yep.
They would have raised some serious stink about what was going on if Cam hadn't had his opportunity. And he made the most of it, of course. But if Cam played for SIU or Nevada, Las Vegas, or a mid-major, Cam's black ass would have been sitting on the sideline big time. No way. He's just to play against Alabama. So we know this is where power controls. If you're one of the big five, you're not going to get in a scandal like that. They're not going to pick your bones on ESPN because
they will put you out before they go on the scandal.
Exactly. But, you know, if you're an HBCU, we'll roast you in a heartbeat. That's where the inequities fall. And unfortunately, that's where they're going to stay until there really is true compliance. I remember a kid from Central Florida. He was a kicker. And he had something online. He created his own thing online. And the NCAA jumped in his ass and said, drop this thing or lose your scholarship. I'm like, are you kidding?
But Michael, what do they do to
Johnny Manziel, he was doing
Manziel,
more than just saying,
he broke the rules.
He gave him one quarter of the budget. Oh, yeah.
That's because
he flashed the real money sign at them and said, hey, my white father, my rich white father, knows the game. He's a booster. And because he is, we know. You really want to take us to court? Take us to court. We'll take care of your black asses, and we'll make you understand the hypocrisy of what you're doing.
Thank you.
Now, that's why he was only suspended one quarter. Oh, Johnny, don't do this again, blah, blah, blah. Shoot, you can, Johnny made bank.
As the hypocrisy of the nation.
Yes,
as a black man, as a African-American, for me, as an African-American, the Native American, and Native American Indian, I had enough of this. And what did it for me was last week. Last week, Juju Chang and DLM decided to go after African American males.
right.
with their editorials.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? So I start researching members that were trying to tell us it was a lie, another lie. So Juju Chang and Dion Lim is doing the Masters video again.
They got it. In that regard, they were no different than Diamond and Silk. Remember those two heifers?
Yes. Who
were trumping for Trump?
That's right.
I mean, some of the shit they said was just flat out outlandish. It was waiting on who you going to believe, me and your lying eyes. But when he lost his job, so did they. And unfortunately, people have to be exposed for the dirt that they do. And it just took a little longer because this was uncharted territory before. Not that black people are always considered the violators, the perpetrators, and everything else, but simply because of who was doing the damage. The Asian community, for whatever reason, used them as their foils, and for a while, it worked because they wanted it to work. But when the sheet was finally pulled off, then they got to change their tactics and start all over again with something else.
You do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be watching like a hawk. I'm going to watch everything they do, but now I'm not playing with them. Do it again.
Yep.
Do it again. I dare you.
That's the ultimate with the whole skin game thing we're talking about here. You know, people don't want to admit it, but race infects everything. It's like the Spice Melange in the Dune series. It's everywhere. And once you're infected with it, unfortunately, it doesn't do positive things for you. It affects you negatively. And because it affects you negatively, it takes longer to shake off, or you have to have a stronger fortitude to think, okay, I got to see beyond this. And it's easier to see beyond if you're focused. Hubert Davis wasn't focused when he had his press conference. He just thought the first thing in his head, was, hey, you know, I'm happy to be here, blah, blah, blah. In that happiness, he made a crucial misstep where if he thought about what he was going to say, he'd have said something different. Everybody, I think, can agree on that. But the fact that he said it now makes them wonder, who the hell are we hiring?
Yep.
You know, because in addition to all of that, there's a poise that you have to have in dealing with the press. He knew that. He knew that during his college career. He knew that as a pro.
Yep.
These are things you must expect. And if you didn't expect it, then you were prone to be affected by it.
There
and
you
he has been now affected by something that was of his own making. So, you know, be proud of your wife. Everybody should be proud of their wife if they have one. But, you know, unfortunately, not his best moment. We'll see if things die down after he wins a few basketball games.
Longer and this episode is going to go. We got any last words? We go.
Yeah, I just want to throw out a quick comment here. You know, thank everybody sincerely for the comments. Even, you know, when I offer a contrasting and conflicting viewpoint, you know, we all deal with each other with respect. But I do want to call some attention. You know, baseball season has opened, and like nobody's paying attention. Spring training came and went. Nobody paid attention. But there's a very good book that just came out. It was reviewed in the New York Times called Our Team. It talks about Larry Doby entering the American League. Following Jackie Robinson, And it's his story. It's an interesting way. I just read the review in the New York Times. I haven't read the book itself. It's called Our Team, and it tells the story. And as journalists, I think all of you would be interested, and readers would too. Kind of the compass points of the story are Larry Doby, Satchel Paige, who joined the Indians in 1948 at age 42, Bill Veeck.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Veeck, the team's owner, and then Bob Feller, who came to Cleveland in 1936 when he was just 17, and he was like the grand old man by 12 years later in 1949-47 when Doby integrates American League Baseball. And Doby and Jackie Robinson, apparently two different people. Robinson had an inner anger that burned, and he had to kind of keep it under control. Doby seems to have been more of a gentle person, but again, good journalism, good storytelling. It talks about how Doby's teeth were literally chattering every time he got up on the plate. So I think this is a good book that people might be interested in, called Our Team.
The Invisible Man. Everything they call it, Doby, the Invisible Man, because of Jackie Robinson was the first star, so he became the. I love Larry Doby because I think he's a great man.
Yeah. And he got plucked overnight. He was playing in the Negro League for the Newark Eagles. I think he was born in New Jersey, as a matter of fact, Jersey Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And got plucked literally overnight, sent from the Newark Eagles to the Cleveland Indians. So went from the Negro Leagues directly into Major Leagues. And I think, I'm not quite sure, you guys would know better than I, Jackie had a period, I think, in the minors. I'm not sure, it kind of seasoned a little bit. But Doby got thrown right into it.
Thank you, sir. Reggie, you're next.
Well, look at this. Larry Doby went to Virginia Union University here in Richmond, Virginia. So we definitely know the story of Larry Doby. He was a hell of a basketball player. So, you know, hats off to that. You know about that story. But as far as diversity, as far as conversation, one thing we pride ourselves here is that, don't take offense, you're not getting anything biased because we're well read and well learned. The part that upsets me is that I've already heard former NBA players and AAU coaches say that this will be used against Mr. Davis when he goes on the recruiting trail. They say if he doesn't have enough stamina, he doesn't have enough pride of being a black man, that this will be used against him. So all I got to say, Mr. Davis, if you do not win the national championship in 2 years, you're gone. And he did this for targeting himself when it didn't have to be. And I say again, in my humble opinion, Jerry Stackhouse, who has head coaching experience, would have been a better choice, and who can relate to the players. If I'm a player now, listen to that press conference, I'm like, I am not going to Carolina. I don't care how much they put money, especially the one that Dunn's in the pocket. So just my food for thought.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, my man. All right, Dr. Evil. Yeah.
Well, I first want to say thanks. I enjoyed the conversation as I'm recovering from my vaccine. They got my ass this morning. Two at the same time as they got you.
Hey, Mike, April 26th when I get mine, brother, so I'll be asking for help with you guys. April 26th and March and May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I got May 8th.
No, I don't have to do anything else. I got one shot, and I'm good for the whole day, as the commercial used to say.
Oh, but good for you. Good for you.
To Reggie's point, you're hired to be fired. And like I said, if North Carolina starts out 6-0-7, all is forgiven. But they will wonder about what they do in running interference for him when he has to be in front of the microphone. You know, that microphone is not easy. You know, it's easier when you win, but when you lose, it can be vicious. Remember the asshole who said to Doug Williams. Remember the asshole who said to Doug Williams, how long have you been a black quarterback? You know, it's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
But see, that's also the element that we're in. for every reporter that might ask an intelligent question related to basketball, there's always that one who will be that asshole who will be in that scrum when the Eagles beat the Giants on a last-second field goal at the Giants stadium. And the first thing he'll say is, gee, coach, how do you feel? You wasted 3.5 hours watching that damn game to say that stupid question. But I digress. Having said that, we will depart from any discussion and get the music tomorrow as our Big Big tournament continues.
Yeah.
I should say this before I go. There was a meme that came up earlier, and I talked about it on my show. Sue Bird, great player from the Seattle Storm and the WNBA, and LeBron James, the cash cow, also. Both players have 4 championships in their respective leagues. Both players are among the highest paid in their respective leagues.
Yes, sir.
Sue Bird makes $215,000, and LeBron makes $37 million. Why is LeBron getting paid more? Because he's more in demand, and his product is more in demand. He's got nothing to do with anything else. The meme, I think, was designed to try to make a Title IX argument, and I'm like, shut up and sit the fuck down, because you got nothing to do with that. When the Williams sisters came along, the Billie Jean King, and changed everything regarding how the women on the tour get paid, that was revolutionary, and it was positive. And now today, the women's tour, the women's tournament is the hot one. You know, the men are like, yeah, you got one guy here, one guy there, but they don't have any personalities. The Williams women, for a decade, made all of the women on the tour buku bucks, and that's what you got to have. And if you don't have that star power where it manifests itself on the play, the field of play, as well as outside where it's an influence, well, you know, you can't expect more than what you're getting. And that's no knock on Sue Bird, because she's a damn good player. But you play in a league where your demand is bigger. The only way I can think of to help rectify this is for the men and women to play Twilight doubleheaders. So when the San Antonio Silver Stars are playing at 2 o'clock, maybe the Spurs play at 5 o'clock. You sell mutual tickets and see what happens. If anything, it can't hurt. Because then maybe some of the diehard male fans will see, damn, you know, women's ball ain't bad. You know, but I digress. But again, but like I said, with the music, we got music coming tomorrow night. Marvin Gaye and Prince will be among those flexing their muscles in the tournament in the drop them draw section. So 9 o'clock tomorrow, of course, Big G will be on before me at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 Pacific. Thank you.
We have Lionel Richie against Teddy Pendergrass tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Now we talking.
Mm-hmm. We all gonna be dropping the door.
It's going to be a great night of music. For everybody, though, now I'm feeling effects of my drugs here. Everybody, please go safe, stay safe, all be right. Safe. Listen to Sunday evening.
Thank you, Mike.
Listen up, everybody. Tony Billy Boy has been in prison for 25 years. He's only been out for 3 days. The last time you were a free man, the Brooklyn Dodgers were still the Brooklyn Dodgers, and Eisenhower was your president. Laura, Amanda's intrigued with Billy Boy. Billy Boy, ask Amanda for a date.
We could go to the Paramount, maybe.
There is no more Brooklyn Paramount. It's been taken over by some college.
Or the Albee.
That's gone, too. You're a regular Rip Van Winkle, huh? What have you been doing,
Patrick?
It's hard to explain.
my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times.
It's been a long time since I've been on a date.
I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes, I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. From the open wine, cause you know just what to say, and you know just what to do. And I want to tell you so much. I love you.
It's okay.
I long to see the sunlight in your. Tell you time and time again how much I care. Sometimes I feel my heart will overflow. Hello, I've just got to let you know, cause I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you. Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you? Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying,
too many memories, too many ghosts.
It's what I know. This and the can.
We could go to Florida, or we could go out west.
What are you telling me? When did they
something going on in the sculpture class. I think you ought to check it out.
I've wanted you to see it so many times, but I finally think it's done.
Tell me what you think of it.
Oh, it's wonderful.
This is how I see you.
French Open moves back to French Open to May 30th. resolutively elder in the opening of the Masters. Elder was the first African American to play the course in 1975. Lee Elder, who is 80 years old now. HBCU, the Aggies, A&T, the R, and NC State 2 years ago, 39-59, Lady Tigers, we're up against the Benny Champion Baylor. Good run, but Baylor won 101-52. Too much bench for the Lady Tigers. Norfolk, David played Goliath, as Norfolk played Gonzaga very well, but again, too much bench for Norfolk. They could be back again next year. I think they will. COVID-19 throws a curveball at swing football. Swing football is suspended for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks ago, Jackson State played Southern. It was 77 at halftime. The Tigers scored one more touchdown while the Jags were 21. And they defeat the Jackson State Tigers. Southern wins the game. Longest game in college history hockey. Frozen Four, University of North Dakota, University of Minnesota Duluth. It went 2-2. University of Duluth wins in overtime and move on. St. Cloud State meet University of Massachusetts tonight. 4 p.m. a championship game against Frozen Four. University of Michigan get ousted by a tournament by COVID-19. They didn't even get a chance to play. Women's hockey. Wisconsin beat Northwestern. So it's a battle of the Big 12. And the Big 10, 12 teams. Wisconsin beat Northwestern 2-1 to take the hockey crown 2021. Penny Hardaway wins the NIT with the University of Memphis. Many professional players and coaches return to college in this meeting. The Bears are ready. Gonzaga, UCLA. A great run for the Pac-12 with three teams in the V8. I think UCLA will come back with their squad. USC, Oregon State. We're all great. It'll be easy to watch it then. Next year, we'll see what happens. Thanks, Dyer. This is Tech. Chris Beard, new head coach. East Tennessee State. Jason J. Resigns. After his support to players, the protest. The alumni and university staff did not like what they're doing. So Jason State resigned with East Tennessee State basketball program. They're looking for a new coach. back, Ms. Barnes. They will bring the Wildcats back again this year. Dogs, Danny, and Bill Program. So, you see these two again. Dogs, Danny, and Ada Barnes made history as the two black coaches in the Final Eight. SMU hires another sister. Troy Wilson will be 2022 coach for the SMU Lady Mustangs. Dara Vanderbilt wins her second national title at Stanford wins. Dawn Staley was the NCAA Tour best in women basketball as it did 50 years ago with the men's game. Ms. Becker's UConn University becomes the first female to win the Winter Award as a freshman. Take a break here. And we'll round out the news after this.
That we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Like children, when we argue for the fight, hey, hey.
If you don't
die now,
you will never know.
You'll never know me. Hey, hey.
If you don't die now,
if you don't know me, baby. Our own funny moves. I've got mine. Woman, you got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, that should be so easy to do.
Never know.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
bear. If you know me by now, how am I with the Blue Notes? NBA. Steph Curry returns to the Warriors to beat the Chicago Bulls 116-102. What is that big question? Are they going to go for it now or wait till this season when they have Klay Thompson? The young gun needs a playoff time, but Green, Curry, and the Wizards do not need any more playoffs. So, Steve Kerr got to make a decision. Cousins moved from Houston to LA Clippers, and this is going to be a big deal for the Clippers. And they need a power forward. They finally get one. So Cousins gets out of Houston, and Houston is a dog team, a real dog team. And they lose everybody from the Houston Rockets. Nets play the ball door, and Harden goes out for injury. Durant comes back, and of course, Mr. Irving is day-to-day. Rick Wells, president of the Golden State Warriors, will retire in 25 years. He is the architect of the great Warriors championship teams of this past decade. The Dallas Mavericks, for the Texas legislature, to pass the anthem bill. All buildings that are paid or owned by the government must play the anthem of Warriors services. The Dallas Mavericks have not been doing that for the past 3 months. So the Dallas legislature passed the state anthem bill. As usual, the Washington Capitals NHL beat the New York Rangers by 4. Starting the games by the East Division, tying them behind and Super 8 do it again with 3 points in 1 game. I do not like their new uniforms. The blue uniform with a W in it. Go back to the old uniforms. The Washington Capitals are now wearing blue uniforms with a big W in the front. Islanders also trying to make a run at the Capitals, and this should be fine for the last 20 games. They're 1 point apart, so Islanders and Capitals go down to the wire in the Eastern Division. Meanwhile, the Flyers put another beat down on Buffalo. Buffalo lost their 18 games in a row, and 18 out of that 20. But they finally turned around and win last Thursday. They beat the Flyers 6-1, stopping the 18-game losing streak in a back-to-back game. Yep, Colorado moves on Vegas. In the West, Colorado has an 8-0-1 streak, and Vegas has 500 week and drop into a tie with the Colorado Rockies. San Jose, the Sharks finally showed up for a 6-4 week, and they're closing in on the 4th spot in the West, and the St. Louis Blues. What is going on with the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks? For the first time in many, many years I remember, both teams are not going to be in the playoffs. In the Canadian North Division, the Maple Leafs turn on the gas pedal and move away from the Winnipeg Jets. And the Jets try to chase down the Maple Leafs. Edmonton is also behind Winnipeg. And this should be fun, too, because these three teams should solidify the Canadian or Northern Division, as it's known. In the Central, it's Tampa Bay, Florida, and Carolina. Those are the three big teams. Nobody's going to catch them. Tampa Bay has the highest scoring line in the league. Carolina has come on strong. Chicago and Nashville was looking out for last playoff position. Right now they're 2 points apart. It should be fun. The Chicago Blackhawks and Nashville Predators in April and May battling out for the last spot in the playoffs. We will see. NFL, Sam Darnold goes to Carolina for 3 picks. I don't know what the Jets are doing. So, San Diego loses Fernando Tatis. He'll be out for at least 4 weeks for a shoulder separation after the third game. The Mets are doing the Mets thing, their home opener, as they win the home opener. And they did it in a controversial way. And Michael Conforto gets hit in the arm. But it shouldn't be out. It was a strike. Fans disrupt the LA Angel in the Astro game. Monday night, throwing trash cans, throwing a plate on the field. This will go on. This will also go on. Oakland, Seattle, let alone L.A. and the New York Yankees. They will be throwing trash cans at the Astros. Dusty Baker is a bad spot because he has a team that nobody likes. It was a year off from the episode of cheating. PGA. Last weekend it was the World Golf Championship with the match play. Billy Horschel wins. This week, as we know, is the Masters. As is well. Robert wins the Coreal Championship in Mexico. And the ladies LPGA is the Kia Gladys Championship in Carlsbad. MB Park wins the strong finish. 5 strokes over American Amy Olsen and Lexi Thomas. And Lexi Thompson. Last week, with international, with Thailand, Australia, South Korea, and United States, for the ANA Inspiration at Rancho Mirage, California, San Diego. Rookie, Eddie Dominic, Tavanika, wins over Lydia Ko and Ji-Young Kim. This week they're off. Last week it was Miami Open for men. And women at Naomi Osaka Wizards winning against match. The streak ended losing to Greece. Maria Zakara. And she beat Naomi Osaka, ending her 22-game winning streak. Ashley Barty wins the Miami Open on the women's side. Erzak wins, beats Skinner on the men's side. NASCAR, last week it was a Food City Dirt race in Bristol, Pennsylvania. Race was forced to move on Monday because of weather. Joey Logano finally wins. This week is the Blue Emmy Max Emily 500 in Virginia, Martinsville, Virginia, Ridgeway. IndyCar is the first week of racing in Barber Motors Park. Next weekend is St. Petersburg, Florida, their usual start. when we won last week, the Marine Grand Prix, the first race of the year, Lewis Hamilton regained the lead with 15 laps to go on winning his 96th race, also passing Michael Schumacher, winning the race 5,111 laps. And he won by half a second over teammate Valtteri Bottas. It's going to be a exciting year for this year because Red Bull is challenging team Mercedes. My next favorite driver, Lando Norris, comes in fourth place. The best start of his career. So congratulations, Lando Norris. You're all for this week. Next week, we will see what happens next week. But they're on vacation this week. The usual opening of the Australian Grand Prix was moved to the third weekend in November. So it won't be business as usual for the Australian Grand Prix. Well, there you have it. End of the week. I hope you have a good week. Next week, it'll be the Italian Grand Prix for Formula 1. All right. And that's it for today. Thank you, Mike, Reggie, and Art for the great word today. Have a good week. Be safe. Come back tomorrow night for Music Box. Lionel Richie against Eddie Bear. Teddy Pendergrass tomorrow night at 4 o'clock. 7 in the East. Followed by Michael Lewis Ingram and Joe Rayard Raw at 6 p.m. Pacific 9 East. Good night, folks.